Gods of Mars, Book 2 in the Barsoom series, by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Forward. 12 years had passed since I had laid the body of my great-uncle, Captain John Carter of Virginia, away from the sight of men in that strange mausoleum in the old cemetery at Richmond. Often had I pondered on the odd instructions he had left me, governing the construction of his mighty tomb, and especially those parts which directed that he be laid in an open casket, and that the ponderous mechanism which controlled the bolts of the vault's huge door be accessible only from the inside. 12 years had passed since I had read the remarkable manuscript of this remarkable man, this man who remembered no childhood, and who could not even offer a vague guess as to his age, who was always young, and yet who dandled my grandfather's great-grandfather upon his knee. This man, who had spent 10 years upon the planet Mars, who had fought for the green men of Barsoom and fought against them, who had fought for and against the red men, and who had won the ever-beautiful Deja Thoris, Princess of Helium, for his wife, and for nearly 10 years had been a prince of the House of Tardos Mors, Jeddak of Helium. 12 years had passed since his body had been found upon the bluff before his cottage overlooking the Hudson, and oft times during these long years I had wondered if John Carter were really dead, or if he again roamed the dead sea bottoms of that dying planet, if he had returned to Barsoom to find that he had opened the frowning portals of the mighty atmosphere plant in time to save the countless millions who were dying of asphyxiation on that far-gone day that had seen him hurtled ruthlessly through 48 million miles of space back to Earth once more. I had wondered if he had found his black-haired princess and the slender son he had dreamed was with her in the royal gardens of Tardos Mors, awaiting his return. Or had he found that he had been too late, and thus gone back to a living death upon a dead world? Or was he really dead after all, never to return either to his mother Earth or his beloved Mars? Thus was I lost in useless speculation one sultry August evening, when old Ben, my body servant, handed me a telegram. Tearing it open, I read, "Meet me tomorrow, Hotel Raleigh, Richmond. John Carter." Early the next morning I took the first train for Richmond, and within 2 hours was being ushered into the room occupied by John Carter. As I entered, he rose to greet me, his old-time cordial smile of welcome lighting his handsome face. Apparently he had not aged a minute, but was still the straight, clean-limbed, fighting man of 30. His keen grey eyes were undimmed, and the only lines upon his face were the lines of iron character and determination that always had been there since first I remembered him, nearly 35 years before. "Well, nephew," he greeted me, "do you feel as though you were seeing a ghost, or suffering from the effects of too many of Uncle Ben's juleps?" "Juleps, I reckon," I replied. "For I certainly feel mighty good, but maybe it's just the sight of you that affects me. You have been back to Mars, tell me. And Deja Thoris, you found her well and awaiting you?" "Yes, I have been to Barsoom again. But it's a long story. Too long to tell in the limited time I have before I must return. I have learned the secret, nephew, and I may traverse the trackless void at my will, coming and going between the countless planets as I list. But my heart is always in Barsoom, and while it is there in the keeping of my Martian princess, I doubt that I shall ever again leave the dying world that is my life. I have come now more because my affection for you prompted me to see you once more before you pass over forever into that other life."